I'll start. I'll let you know as soon as we're live.
Okay.
And here we go.
Hey, good evening, folks. Coach Dave. Coach.
You're live.
Hey, folks. Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer here. On what evening is this? This is Thursday evening. Just had a great exclusive opportunity to be able to talk to Larry Nichols, and honored that you would join us here. Normally, we would have Larry up on the screen with us, but, you know, Larry's sick. Larry is really, really sick. In fact, we're going to hear from him here in a second. He says he's got tubes coming out, is just about everything tubes can be coming out of. So just out of decency and a privacy, Larry's just going to be on with this. We'll hear his voice. So we're going to do a little bit different than our normal hangout. We do our hangouts in the morning. You know, we have a bunch of guys in the screen with us on the, but we're not going to do that today. It's just going to be a straight up interview with Larry Nichols. For those of you who don't know, first of all, I want to thank Larry. Larry is a hot item right now, friends. You know, he goes on with Alex Jones every once in a while. We see him on there, and other people are trying to get him. And Larry is a very, very sick man. And I began contacting him earlier this week, and we're able to schedule that for him to come on here with us. So we're going to have a no holds barred interview here with Larry Nichols. First of all, Larry, just God bless you, and thanks for coming on with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Coach. It's an honor.
Larry, tell them how sick you are, brother, because I don't think people really understand that you are a very, very sick man.
Coach, let's just say it's bad, but it's what I got to deal with in my family, and we're hanging on, you know, we're doing what we can. And
one of the reasons you're hanging on, Larry, is because for those of you who don't know, maybe I should have had an introduction. Larry Nichols has been the Clinton insider going back into the 1970s, and he can tell us all we need to know about the Clintons. He knew them up close and personal. And you ask somebody why, literally on his deathbed, makes trips to the hospital a couple times a day. Why he'd still be kicking. You know, Larry shared with me before we went on the air. He says, man, I got to try to make it right. I did so many things wrong that I got to make it right. And Larry, just so our listeners know, this would apply to some people don't understand it, but you became a Christian, didn't you, Larry? You were a scoundrel. You were a scallywag. And somewhere along the way, you found Jesus. Is that true, Larry?
That's true. I mean, Coach, I didn't care. I didn't care. It wasn't my job to care. My job was to do what I was paid to do. And it wasn't until way too late that I got in a situation to where God got my attention. And let me say to your audience, I'm a Christian. I'm not a good one. I try to be, but I don't always make it. But there's nothing that I haven't done. I am by far the sorriest individual y'all have ever known. Scum of the earth. I can't deny. And then the big thing, the big problem, and everybody better watch out about this because it can happen to you as well. If it can happen to a tough guy like me, it can happen to anybody. I was young and I was cool and I was smart back when I worked with the Clintons, and I helped design, build the system that Bill and Hillary use, this intricate mob, this cabal system. I helped build it, designed most of it. And then here I am today seeing that system being used to destroy the life my grandchildren are going to have in yours. And I've got to stop it. I've got to be the one. You know, nobody's beat the Clinton system. Nobody. Coach, did you know that? Nobody.
Yeah.
Except me. I got him impeached. I got him close, but he got off. But I think it was all one day destined to come down to this. Now I'm afraid I'm just barely hanging on. I'm not going to be here maybe for the election, but I'm trying. It's just,
Well, Larry, let's get to the nitty gritty. I don't want you to die on me right now, brother. So let's get the interview. Let's get to some of the nitty gritty. You said the Clinton system, and you know, Larry, we were on another show a couple weeks ago or a week ago, and I asked you this question. I said, Larry, what's going on here, man? All these right wing Republicans, these good God fearing Republicans that we think that why aren't they speaking up? Why are they getting away with it? And I said, well, it's because the Clinton Foundation has paid them off. I've made all types of excuses for what it is. Larry, what's really going on? What is this control and this almost demonic influence that the Clintons have on everything that they touch? How does that system work, Larry?
Okay, it's evil. Okay, it's evil. Now, is it demonic, evil? Sometimes I get those two mixed up, but I will say this. Our whole system, the system that Bill and Hillary use to this day, is extortion and blackmail in its purest form. Let me give you an example. When we were in Arkansas, we controlled the Stevens brothers. They're the ones that I worked for, Jack and Whit Stevens. Mr. Whit, I was his favorite guy. They're the ones that gave me Bill Clinton to be the handler.
What year was this, Larry?
This would have been in 76, I think.
Wow, okay.
And 76, 78 maybe. But the Stevens in Arkansas, you didn't get elected dog catcher in nowhere Arkansas unless they approved. They picked who was going to be dog catcher. They picked who was going to be county sheriff, city marshal, prosecuting attorney, anybody running for anything in the state of Arkansas. You had to have the seal of approval of the Stevens brothers. Now, so one day we figured it out. You know, wait a minute. Every sheriff's in our hip pocket. Every prosecutor's in our hip pocket. State police in our hip pocket. We owned and controlled the media in Arkansas. Nothing got out that we didn't want out. So you know what? Who are you going to call? We could do anything. We could do literally anything. Who is anybody going to call to get us? Now, let's move that forward to today. You know, I've been trying for 28 years, Coach, 28 years thereabouts, to tell people about this, to warn people. This is what's coming. This is what you're going to have in America. Nobody believed me. Couldn't be. Can't happen. Not in America. Good Lord. Well, you've seen now that they control the Justice Department through Janet or Loretta Lynch. You see now that they've got their hands in the pile at the FBI. Yes, there's some good guys in the FBI, but still management of the FBI is under their control. You see now they control all the media. What's left? Well, Congress. Let's say they've got, you can say, well, maybe they don't have the Republicans. Let me tell you something, folks. Congress, I used to do orientation acclamation for both parties in Washington when new congressmen and senators would get there. And I would explain to them the rules of Washington. Somebody might go there, Coach, and be a good guy when they got there. Within 6 months, we had them. We'd find out what their little pet peeve was, their fetish, their habit. As soon as I found that out, I had them. And they knew I had them. So that goes on.
So you just get them through, Larry, you would just get them through temptation. Let's say you found out somebody was loose with women. You'd figure out a way to trap him in an uncompromising position.
You bet. We'd have a lobbyist. We'd get a lobbyist to throw a party. We'd have a couple of young ladies or whatever his thing was. We'd have a couple of ladies get with him. And then they would take it over from there. And then we'd get a few pictures of them in compromising situations. And you know what? And do what we wanted done. They always will. So let's take Trey Gowdy. Let me give an example with this. Trey Gowdy seems to be this tough guy. Boy, he's going to get Hillary. If she gets elected, here's what's going to happen. If she gets elected, remember, they control Loretta Lynch, Justice. They control the FBI. They control the media. If Gowdy really comes after her, then what's going to happen? They're going to sick the FBI on him. They're going to dig up stuff on him. Even if there's not stuff, they'll make it up. They're going to turn it over to the media. And let's just say they really want to make a point. They'll accuse him of something and get him prosecuted. They won't have to do that but to one or two Republicans in Congress and the Senate. I mean, really roast them. And you know what? Everybody else fall in line, Coach.
Yeah, the word gets out to everybody else.
Word gets out. So that's what's going to come. That's what's going to come. And so then you go by the old saying that we had here. Remember the old Ghostbusters movie?
Yeah. Who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call? So let's say no matter what comes up, who are you going to call, Coach? Mm. Who will you call if you catch the Clintons doing anything? Or any of their minions, who do you call to expose them? Who do you call to get it busted up? So all this talk about if she gets elected, you know, right after she gets elected, oh boy, there's going to be all kinds of hearings and such. No. No. The Supreme Court, pro se. Only two people ever went pro se before the Supreme Court. Me and Davy Crockett. He went once. I went twice. Lost and I won. But because of that, we had our impeachment hearings.
So are you telling me? Go ahead, Larry. I'm sorry.
Well, so I'm just telling you that you're not going to have hearings. The Republicans, that's the big joke of jokes. The Republicans are all the same thing. There are not two teams in Washington, D.C. There's not a Democrat and Republican team. They're all the same, Coach.
But Larry, it would be safe to say that some of these guys go there with the best intentions, do they not? And then they become corrupted by the system or get caught in a compromising situation or get set up in a compromising situation, and then they fall under the power. And then they'll catch one or two of them, and then it'll scare everybody else out, and then they'll fall in line.
That's right.
So Larry, as we look at it right now then, and we look at all this stuff that's coming out, how do you see this playing out, Larry? Are they really digging up stuff on the Clintons? Are they really going to use it? Does it come down, Larry, to whether she's elected or not? If she's not elected, are they going to face the music?
I don't think it's going to stop it, because I think there's going to be so much voter fraud that it's going to be impossible. Just to be honest, I think, Coach, there's a good chance right now, I believe, that Donald Trump's winning. I really do. But that's him winning the election by votes. But I don't think he'll win the election. There is massive voter fraud going on. Massive. Electronic equipment, flipping votes. People coming in, voting four and five times, bringing whole vans and buses of people in.
Explain to us how that works, Larry. Because the average person, I've seen some of it at our local early voting center. Explain to people how that happens. How do people vote multiple times, Larry? Do the powers that be, do they have names on a roster? Do they have records of people who died? Do they have records of people who are registered but never go vote? How does that whole system work, Larry?
Well, what we used to do, and I will describe it from firsthand experience, what we did. What happens is they go in and come in a bus. We used to get school buses. Literally, there's a bus company in Conway. And we would get school buses. We'd go to Northeast Arkansas, to a very impoverished black part of the state. Poor people. We would load them up, put them on the bus, and we would take them, just like they're going to do this time, take them to the inner city precincts. Inner city precincts. Now, they're not going to your precinct, Coach, out in rural wherever.
Yeah, for sure.
They're going inner city precincts. They'll go in, line them up, they'll go vote. First time, they'll go in and let's say have a card with them. And the first time they have this card, they'll walk in, they'll sign up and say they're Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer. They'll vote, come back, get on the bus or get in the van or get in the car, whatever way they were taken. And then when they do that, they get back in, then they come back, and this time they'll go back in again, except this time they'll be Larry Nichols. They'll vote again according to this card they're holding.
So somebody's giving them a card, is that what you're saying, Larry?
Yep, they'll give them a card. And then they go in and vote, come back out, go back in again and be John Doe. And they're going 4 and 5 times per precinct, per polling station. They'll just load them up and move to another station.
So, Larry, does that mean then that the people working in the polling stations, do they understand what's going on, Larry? Are they just looking at it, letting this stuff happen?
They don't care. That's what inner city polling stations are a joke. They're a joke, Coach. Those people never, I've seen them, they never look up, Coach. Never. Hmm. We used to have fun. We would have guys going and claim they were Marilyn Monroe. You know, just to prove.
Yeah, Bruce Jenner, you could do that now and get away with it, couldn't you?
Yeah. We did that just to prove that they wouldn't catch us. They couldn't catch us. They won't look up. So, now, you take nationwide, look at Baltimore, look at Philadelphia, look at all these huge cities, look at the number of votes in these precincts, and you're talking about significant fraud. Now, how do you catch it?
Yeah, good question. Good answer.
Well, what you do to catch it is simple. We need veterans groups. To get together, because I don't recommend, Coach, you or anybody going in by yourself to an inner city precinct, predominantly black. I don't recommend you going in there by yourself.
Right.
You're liable to get a knot on your head.
I got some guts now. I got some guts later, but I also got some brains.
All right. Now, but these veterans groups, they can go into the inner city precinct with, say, you know, let's say 10 people. Go in there with 10 people. They'll be safe with their numbers. And then you just watch. It'll happen right in front of you. Mm. They don't hide it. You'll see them going in, coming out, going in, coming out. When you see it, take a picture of it. The minute you take a picture of it, call the police. Tell the police what you just witnessed. They won't come. They will not come, but take a picture anyway. And then you let me know on my website, LarryNichols.info. We've got a place right there, Coach, for people to log in their experience with voter fraud. We'll document it. That way, if Trump loses and if he wants to sue, there is a process you have to go through. You can't just do anecdotal stories about seeing voter fraud. You got to prove it. Mm-hmm. And when you go to LarryNichols.info, you will see the steps that you must do so that if there is a lawsuit at the end of the election, this stuff can be entered as evidence.
Larry, this is great information, and we'll continue to repeat this and get information out of the stuff.
Let me go ahead, if I may, since we're talking about this. Your individual vote. Folks, I want y'all to write this down. If you don't do anything else from this program, write this down. Protect your vote. Protect your vote. You got one vote. When you go into that voting booth and there's an electronic piece of equipment, doesn't matter which kind it is, Coach, you make sure. When you get through, you make sure that somebody shows you a receipt, printed record of how your vote was logged. Mm. Now, they'll do it sometimes, give you a little printout. Sometimes they show you on the screen. But then a lot of the times they say, well, we just can't do that. You just need to know we never have problems. No.
Yeah, right.
If they cannot show you proof of how your vote's being recorded, then you demand a paper ballot. Demand a paper ballot. By law, they're supposed to have one there. They're supposed to provide you with a paper ballot. A lot of these places are going to say, no, we don't have it. Now, if you go to a precinct and they say, we don't have paper ballots, there's a good chance it fixes in at that precinct. Mm. So what you need to do is ask them, where's the closest place you can go and get a paper ballot? And then you go get a paper ballot, you cast your vote on a paper ballot, and you submit it. Do not walk away from your voting machine without verification that your vote was logged the way you voted. And coach, for everybody to do that, they can't steal your vote with machines that are wired up to where every third time a vote for Trump goes to Clinton.
Amen. Which we know Soros owns a lot of these things. And so, you know, they call conspiracy theories, Larry, but we know, in fact, it's gone on. We know that in precincts last election, 118% of the registered voters voted. And it's a numerical instability, but yet that kind of stuff definitely does go on.
There are five precincts in Philadelphia right now. I think it's Philadelphia. I saw it on Fox. I may be off. Anyway, he's in Pennsylvania, I know. But anyway, there were five precincts. Absentee voting alone. One of the precincts already in absentee voting. And by the way, it's an inner city precinct. Already 140% of the people that are registered to vote in that precinct have already voted.
Have already voted.
Mm-hmm. And it hadn't even come to election day. That's just
absentee
ballots. And you know what the people said with the head of the voting stuff when asked by Fox News, well, what are you going to do? They said, well, really, there's nothing we're going to do because we have no way to verify the signatures so they'll stand. Mm. Well, okay. There you go.
Larry, let's get into some salacious stuff that people want to know. Is Bill Clinton sick, Larry?
I think he is. The Bill that I knew is not home right now. I don't see him. He's not there. Uh-huh. Bill seems to me to be suffering from dementia, something. He's not there. He's not all there. And it's not just the looks, but it's the way he keeps his mouth open. It's the way you just got to know Bill Clinton like I know him. I trained him.
Yeah, he would light up a room when he walked into it normally.
Yeah, I mean, and just the fire in his eyes, you put him in front of people and coach, it's, if he were in my shape and sick and you put him in front of a room of people, he'd get well instantly. Hmm. He just had that kind of, you know, that just meant that much to him, but he doesn't light up anymore. He doesn't. Now, he's got another problem, which is out there trying to represent Hillary as a candidate, and she's a terrible candidate, and we've all known it all the way through. But no, he's sick. Something's not right.
Larry, the one of the big things that I've been following, again, folks, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer here with Larry Nichols, and we sure appreciate Larry being on with us. Larry's hoping to make it to Election Day, literally live till Election Day. He's sick with lung cancer and several other issues. Larry, one of the most salacious things that's come out here in the last few days, we understand there's an uprising. At least they say there's a governmental, an undercover government uprising in the FBI and other places like that, that this recent stuff came about because of Anthony Weiner and the investigation by the NYPD, yada, yada, yada. Larry, one of the things that's buried deep down in the middle of this thing is the idea of this Lolita Express. We know Bill's been promiscuous throughout his whole life. Everybody understands that. But they're making accusations now, or at least I'm hearing them, Larry, as rumors at this point, about the possibility that Hillary might be somehow involved with this pedophilia that's going on. Larry, from your perspective, is this something that Hillary would be involved in as well?
Oh, yeah. Now, let me say this. Hillary, and I don't know the, forgive me, I don't know the polite way to say it, but let's just say it this way. Hillary has always been ACDC. She and Bill have had, I was with them, I know, I watched them. They've had what's called an open marriage. They were back in the day called swingers. He'd do who he wanted to. She would do who she wanted to. And Bill would constantly tell me that Hillary got more women than he ever did.
Did she have an affair with Yoko Ono? Is that true, Larry?
Don't know. She didn't when I was around her, and she would have, but she didn't when I was there. If she did, it was well before my time.
Okay, I didn't mean to.
But I'll tell you what she did do during my time. She would go out to L.A., about once every 4 to 6 weeks, Coach. And she had made a couple of three trips when finally I just said, you know, what it, because I had to justify out of the governor's travel allowance the money for her to go. I said, now tell me again what I was, she was going to a witch's church. She was going out there and going with Linda Bloodworth Thomason. She was the director and producer of the show Designing Women, a couple other TV shows. Her husband is Harry Thomason, the guy that did the North and South movie and
right.
did
big Clinton buddies, both of them.
Big Clinton buddies. Well, when I found out about that, she would go about every 4 to 6 weeks. Finally, she had gone so many times that I was getting concerned because it was showing up pretty regular out of the travel allowance. And you can only go to a convention about this, that, or the other so many times till it starts looking weird. Finally, I went to Bill and I said, Bill, we got to do something about this, man. She can't. You realize we're in the deep South. And if word gets out, she's going to a witch's church. You're done, man. We're done. It's over. Period. Zoom. He said, well, I'm not going to tell her. You got to tell her. I said, well, I will. So I finally cornered her and I told her. I said, Hillary, you got to stop it. You just can't do this. And I went at it from trying to tell her I was having trouble justifying it. She said, well, you better figure it out because I've got to go. So finally, I said, look, we know the people at Channel 11, which is a local TV network, one of the three. And I said, why don't you always go to church on Sunday at the Methodist church. I'm going to set up a camera crew. And we're going to do just an impromptu, just looks like it accidentally happened, you coming out of the Methodist church. And you come out, and I want you to really pour on the dog. I mean, I want you to talk about your faith and Jesus, et cetera, et cetera. She turned away from me. I remember it like it was yesterday. I've told the story so many times. I know people that hear me very much probably get tired of it, but it's that significant. She turned away from me with her back to me, and then she turned her head to the left. And she said, you know I can't do that. And then she turned her head back and she walked away from me. Now, what does that mean? I know you're a spiritual man.
I am.
I didn't. It puzzled me then. It's been on my mind ever since then, obviously, because it's one of the things I remember. Along with another thing, when I first met her, she was filthy, dirty, had greasy hair. You've heard me talk about it. And around her neck, she had hairy legs, hair on under her arms, wearing a muumuu and flip-flops at a formal meet and greet with some rich farmers from Northeast Arkansas. But around her neck, she had a chain, like a dog tag chain, and there was a card on it like a press pass, but it said, proud member of the Communist Party. She smelled. And I just thought she smelled because of hygiene. But for years after that, even when we got her cleaned up, Hillary smelled. It's a smell. It's kind of like rotten meat or rotten. It's just an awful odor. And even today, as recent as maybe a couple, 3 months ago, people that went to one of her, you know, rallies where she's talking and ended up getting close to the rope line or whatever, people that know nothing of what I'm telling you said, God, boy, I tell you, it was terrible. Somebody in her group smelled horrible. It was just odor. It's her. Now, what is that?
Well, I have my opinion of what it is.
All right, what is it?
Well,
in your opinion.
In my opinion, I believe that she's demon possessed. You know, scripture talks about the demons have an odor, give off an odor. And now this will make right wing watch, Larry. They like to laugh at this, but I believe it to be true. And, you know, it's more than John Podesta, even in WikiLeaks, John Podesta makes the same argument about her. So let me shift gears here a second, Larry.
Uh-huh.
Talk about that, the Clinton family dynamic. Like I'm thinking back even back in when Waco took place with Janet Reno. I've always heard through the grapevine that Hillary was the one who gave the orders at Waco. How did that, they call it a co-presidency. How did that thing really work? Who really wore the pants in that family?
All right, let's get one thing straight. all of you listening to me, get this straight. Bill Clinton didn't give two hoots and a tinkers about governing. That's not why he runs for office or ran for office. He didn't care about it, didn't like it, didn't want any part of it.
He's just a front man.
He liked the perks.
Yep.
He liked the rock star status. The one that did the work, the brains, was Hillary. When he was governor, when it came to business, when it came to policies, etc., you went to Hillary. You didn't even bother going to Bill. Only time you went to Bill was when you had something written out, tell him what to say. When he was president, I assure you, Bill Clinton never ruled a day. There was never a day when he sat down and made a decision relative to this country. He didn't. I think you can look at his itinerary with all the women, the Kathleen Willey, the Monica Lewinsky's. I mean, look at all of that going on. You could see he didn't have a lot of time to deal with any kind of issues of the government. Mm-hmm. You got to know Hillary. Hillary, and I've seen Hillary get so mad at him, strip him down in front of us, in front of his staff, talk to him like he was a yard dog, throw stuff at him, call him every name under the sun. Many a time, when he'd be out and get caught with a woman, and I'd have to get involved because a woman, you know, he was seen with a woman and it was going to get bad, she'd throw a fit. She'd come to me and she'd say, "Can you not keep his zipper up?"
So she would get mad, Larry. She wouldn't get mad that she was with other women. She would get mad that he would get caught with other women. Is that what it is?
Absolutely.
That he was so reckless with it?
Yeah. I mean, that's all she was mad about. He was going to ruin everything for him.
You know, Larry.
And then I'm going to tell you another thing. Bill Clinton told me once, because it got so bad. Now, you got to remember, I'm caught in between the two. All right, here you got Bill just running wild, going crazy. Here you got Hillary driving us crazy. I'm in between. Finally, a couple times, I asked Bill, I said, "Bill, why don't y'all get divorced? You don't love each other. You don't want anything to do with each other. And look at them now. They don't even live together, right? They don't live together." He'd tell me over and over and over, "We will never get a divorce." And I'd say, "My God, why not, Bill?" He said, "Well, that way we can never be forced to testify against each other in a court of law."
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's the truth.
That's the truth.
Hillary told me the same thing.
Let me ask you, Larry. Again, folks, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer with Larry Nichols, longtime Clinton confidant. Larry knows what he's talking about. He was there firsthand. What motivates her, Larry? I think about being 70 years old. I'm 64 years old. I think of my sister. My sister's 70. I can't imagine my sister at 70 years old wanting to be doing what Hillary Clinton is around her grandbabies and, you know, enjoying the latter part of her life. What is it that drives this woman to seek the presidency of the United States?
That's easy. Bill and Hillary Clinton were literally, in my world when I was with them, they were the ultimate perfect couple, all right? They were both driven beyond any person you've ever seen for their goals, their dreams. When Bill Clinton met John Fitzgerald Kennedy, from that day, Bill told me he was going to be president, and that's all he had his eyes on, and nothing took him off of it. Hillary, since she was 4 years old, her dad told me this. Hugh Rodham told me this, and her mother. Since she was 4 years old, she was going to be the first woman president. And Hillary craves, Coach, she craves power. Mm. Power. In 1986, I was a part of a team, Dick Morris, Paul Begala, and a couple of others. One day, Bill and Hillary called us in. It was Hillary, but Bill was with her. And they laid out their future. And they wanted a plan. Here was the future they wanted. Bill was going to be president. He was going to serve his two terms, and she was going to be president. Now, we worked it out eventually. It's called the 86 plan. In that plan, Bill Clinton would run for president. He'd be president two terms. Then they would wait a term. Then Hillary would run, and she would get it. And then within 6 months of her getting to be president, Bill Clinton, she would name him ambassador to the UN. And then because of a group that we start, which we were talking about it back then, it didn't even exist. We were going to call it the Clinton Foundation. Because of this foundation, you were going to get so active with the UN that within 6 months, him being made ambassador for America to the UN, or United States to the UN, he would be made Secretary General. And at that point, Bill and Hillary would achieve what they wanted, which is the ultimate power, the most powerful couple ever in the history of the world. And that's what they're going to be. That's what they're going to do. With one caveat, I don't know in Bill's present mental condition whether that part of it can still come true. But if Bill can't be it, there will be one of her surrogates that's signed a death loyalty to her that will become it.
Larry, let me shift gears here on you a second. You know, you see a lot of stuff on the internet, and the joke goes around, well, I saw it on the internet, it's got to be true. I'm talking about now about the two things that have really been confusing to me. Number one, the whole Danny Williams thing. I'm sure you know about Danny Williams.
Not true.
Not true? Danny Williams, that's not Bill's kid.
No.
Okay. Second one, Larry, heard for a number of years, seen it all over the internet, that Webb Hubble is Chelsea's dad.
That is true. I'm the one that put that out.
That is true.
That is true, 100%. Now, where did I hear that? I'm the one that broke it. I'm the one that put it out back during his time as president. Bill told me that. They wanted to have kids. Bill couldn't have kids because he was shooting blanks.
See, I'd heard that. I'd heard that.
You know, one of the problems I always had with Bill is I said, Bill, don't you worry about knocking all these women up. He said, nah, I shoot blanks. I can't make anybody pregnant. I had polio or something when he was a kid, whatever, chicken pox or something. And then I said, well, where did Chelsea come from? And he said, that was Hubble's, because Hillary and I needed, you know, we needed a kid for our family structure, so we volunteered Hubble. And if you put him on the stage, now Chelsea's had some makeup surgery, but go back to when Clinton was president. When I broke the story about Hubble and Chelsea, nationally, I broke it. It was everywhere. When I did, there was a memo put out by the White House. There were to be no time when Hubble and Chelsea would ever be on the stage together. Now, just so that you know, about 6 months ago, the Enquirer came to me, and of course I told them, and they did a story about it. They went around, and they got DNA from Bill. Somehow, however they got it, that was fairly easy. But they followed Chelsea, and eventually one of their people followed her to a restaurant and got a glass or something that she used, and they got they had enough DNA off of it, and they ran DNA tests. Now, they could not get DNA samples from Hubble. But when they ran Bill and Chelsea's DNA, and this is in the National Enquirer, because I wouldn't let them run the story unless they could verify it and prove it, and they didn't want to, so to their credit, they did their job. Their DNA results came back, and it was like a 90 million chance to one that there was no way Chelsea and Bill could be, or Bill could be her father. No way.
Does she know this? Is Chelsea?
She does. Well, sure she does, because I put it out everywhere. Sure did. I don't stutter, Coach.
Didn't mean to accuse you of stuttering.
No, I know that.
This whole stunt thing is so fascinating. How this power couple can. It seems like, Larry, it seems like everything about them is a lie. Everything about them appears to be a lie. Now, Larry.
It has to be. That's what we worked out when I first met Bill and when I met Stevens. You know, we realized they were pathological. He was a pathological liar. And she was a cold-blooded liar.
Mm. Different.
So the only way you could handle them, the only way, is to make sure they never tell the truth about anything. Because if they ever tell the truth about part things and then not about others, you'll get caught. But if you lie all the time, you keep scripts ready and you're always covered.
Larry, what's your take on the Vince Foster thing?
All right, let's get it real clear what I say and what I don't. I have never said that Bill or Hillary had anything to do with killing Vince Foster. As a matter of fact, I have never said whether he killed himself or somebody killed him. I do not know. But here's what I can prove in a court of law. He did not die in Fort Marcy Park the way they said he did.
Yeah, the FBI.
And I can prove that.
Well, the FBI just released the investigation, and they found no shells. They found no bullets at the scene. None.
They found no bullets in those skull fragments. No blood.
Right.
Now, but I got one piece of evidence. I got it. I released it. Matter of fact, again, it ran in the inquiry. It's run on Alex Jones's show. I've got, Coach, the actual Secret Service memo. 2336, I think, is the National Archives number. It's real. And it's when the Park Police notified the Secret Service at the White House that they had found the body of Vincent Foster. But now, here's what's neat about it. In that report, I'm going to quote it as best I can, the body of Vincent Foster was found in his car in the parking lot at Fort Marcy Park. 38 caliber revolver was found in the car with him. He had shot himself. He had killed himself. There was a six-pack bottle of James in the front seat. One had been opened and was empty. A briefcase was in the back seat, but it was empty. Now, that's the official story given to the Secret Service on duty at the White House. Tom Carpenter, I believe, was the Secret Service agent in charge. Now, here's the official story. The official story is Vince Foster drove his car, parked it in the parking lot at Fort Marcy Park, walked 200 yards on a dirt trail in 95-plus degree temperature, sat down on a berm by an old Civil War cannon, stuck a pistol in his mouth, shot himself in the mouth, blew the top of the crown of his skull off, yet there was no blood, no skull fragment, no bullet ever found. But then I've also got the autopsy. Now, can you imagine this? In the autopsy, he walked 200 yards down a dirt trail, 95 degree plus temperature, and there was not one microscopic speck of dust on his shoes, socks, pants, or belt.
Wow.
I dare say you can't walk across your living room with it being perfectly clean. And I get a microscopic speck of dust on it.
So the bottom line then from your perspective is somebody killed him, but you have no idea whether it was the Clintons or they were involved with it. Although, Larry,
I do not know.
There is a list of bodies around the Clintons, is there
not? Oh, you bet. You bet. Many, many, many. 52 were killed out from under me that I had that were fixing to testify in one way or another against the Clintons. But right before they were able to testify or go public, they died mysterious deaths. One guy, for example, cut his hands and feet off, cut his neck, slit his throat to the brainstem, set himself on fire, and threw himself in a dump. And they ruled it a suicide.
That's a pretty active guy right there, Larry.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, Larry, I don't want to take too much of your time. I appreciate
it. Let me tell you why they moved the body. Now, remember, you said we know somebody killed it. No, we don't. We don't know if somebody killed it.
That's right.
Daryl Glasscock and I, Daryl called me. I had him kind of investigate in Washington to see what was going on. I had heard that Vince Foster and Larry Wallace had rented a house from an old senator from Louisiana, and they were using it as a cat house to sneak Clinton out of to go do women and drugs away from the White House. He found that place. We went to it. Now, the funny thing about that old house, that house is if you stood on the back porch, if you could throw a rock 100 yards, if you could throw a rock 100 yards straight from the back porch, you would hit approximately where the berm was. He was found in Fort Marcy Park. It butted right up to Fort Marcy Park. When we got there, because there was another thing on the autopsy, there was no dust at all, but there were long, multicolored shag carpets. Well, we go to the house thinking, well, we'll just go in there and see if we can find that carpet. We get to the house, and much to our chagrin, there was a carpet truck there. An old guy there by himself with his van. We went up, and we said, we were looking, can we look, see the carpet? He said, yeah. He said, I was here to change one room out. And I said, great. Can we see the carpet in the room? He said, no, it's weird. They'd already taken it up. And I said, you're kidding. They aren't. Yeah, he said, it's up when we got here. But he said, come here, I'm going to show you something. He took me into this room, kind of like a den or a bedroom kind of den. It was a funny room, big room, but it was kind of funny. Right in the center, he said, look here in that concrete. It looked like somebody stuck a hog. Literally, the concrete was stained blood. I said, dadgummit. Daryl asked him, he said, man, is there any way you can figure out where they sent that carpet? He said, why do you mean that? Why ask that? And he said, well, because we need to know what kind of carpet it was. He said, well, look, I can do better than that. And he walked over. He said, on the tacking strip, I'll pull you up a piece of it. Well, they had left pieces of the carpet on the tacking strip. Well, guess what? It was a multicolored, long shag carpet. Exactly like that, which was described in the autopsy. So I'm very comfortable to say that's where he died. But here's the kicker to the case. They moved the body. Why? Because where he died in that house would have put the investigation under the purview of the D.C. police. And if they were in charge of the investigation, Coach, they would have certainly looked into the mitigating circumstances of the fact that Vince Foster and Hillary had had a 10-year-long affair that she had broken off about a week to 10 days before he died. And she did it in a humiliating manner right in front of his whole staff, just stripped him down as she was prone to do. I mean, just made a complete fool out of him. So that's why he may have been so mentally upset that he did kill himself. Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, if the D.C. police had have investigated him, they would have certainly looked into the mitigating circumstances and her affair would have come out. And in that day, remember, that's not today. That was back then.
No internet.
In that day, if that had have come out, she would have been the first lady to ever have an affair on a sitting president. She would have been so marred, so destroyed, would never have been able to run for president even today.
Wow, it's true.
Larry, let's, like that.
I love talking to you, man. Love talking to you. Well, Larry, after you cross over to the other side, brother, and you go to be with the Lord, we're going to have this. This will be an archive that we're going to keep. So, Larry.
No, this is not over yet. We can go until the top of the hour.
That's it, brother. Listen,
I haven't bored you.
No, I got things I want to bring up here. So, Larry, all the hubbub right now, the email scandal and the WikiLeaks and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But Larry, the real issue, is it not? Isn't the real issue the Clinton Foundation? Can you expound on for us a little bit of what you think's going on? Knowing the Clintons, what type of monster have they set up in that Clinton Foundation?
Well, the Clinton Foundation is the larger scale Arkansas Development Finance Authority, which is where I worked when I worked for them when he was in Arkansas. The Clinton Foundation, as we designed it in 1986, was simply a way to launder money, a way to make money for the Clintons. You see, when Bill got out of office, he had to be able to make a living. This was the way. We had worked it out back then. This is how they could make their money. And with what was coming, they could make a gold mine. They could have a gold mine because everybody knew. They made it clear, quite clear. Everybody has known for a long, long time Hillary was going to run for president.
That's Right.
And everybody has known for a long, long time, when she ran for president, she's going to get it. Now, Obama threw a curve in her, but that's all right. It's over. Now it's her. And so all these people are sitting here, and they made it quite clear, when she gets to be president, you know, pay the fiddler. Mm. And so they have used it to make money in a big way, just like we did at ADFA. ADFA, what I found that caused me to get away from the Clintons, what made me walk away from them, it wasn't all the stuff I did. It wasn't any of that. When I went to work at ADFA, I found the other set of books. They showed me the other set of books, and we were laundering drug money from Mena, Arkansas, through the agency that I worked. Bill's best friend, Dan Lassiter, who had a brokerage firm, he was laundering $100 million a month through this agency that I worked for. And it was basically a baby, you understand, a baby Clinton Foundation. It was just at a state level.
Yeah, they learned how to do it there.
They learned how to do it. So the Clinton Foundation is the key to their organized crime syndicate. If you want to take, say, let's do a chart, and let's do a spider web, right, or maybe a spokes like on a bicycle. Everything emanates from the Clinton Foundation. And the way you route everything to the Clinton Foundation is from the presidency. And or if not president, at least the fact that she's going to be the president with certainty. And you're able to channel everything through the foundation. The foundation is able to launder and clean all the money and make all the deals. And so that's why when she didn't get to be president, that's why when Obama tried to find a way for them to coexist, that's when she pointed out she would be Secretary of State. Because in lieu of her being president, that was the only vehicle she had to make the foundation work.
So he let her be Secretary of State to buy her office. Is that really
yep.
what that was, Larry?
Yep, yep. To keep unity in the party and to keep... Listen, Barack Hussein Obama knew he did not want to be president and have the Clintons nipping at his heels every day. He had to find some way to get them off of him, so at least he didn't have to worry about that. Because had they been nipping at his heels every day, within 2 years, they would have had him indicted.
Yeah. Because that's the way they operate.
That's the way they operate. So everything's there. Now, here's what you have to know about what's going on today. I believe the five FBI guys that turned over and started all of this stuff with the new investigation that leaked to the Wall Street Journal about the new investigation, those are friends of mine. I know about it. They told me about it. I know what they're doing. They believe that this new investigation is simply a way for Hillary to win. Mm. You see, two things are hurting Hillary, too. Number one is WikiLeaks. And number two is what all of us, including you, me, Limbaugh, Alex, all of us, we've all pointed out voter fraud over and over and over, including Trump, over and over and over and over and over. And so we're getting attention towards it. They don't want attention towards voter fraud. Because if you show up watching voter fraud, if you see a busload of them and they see you seeing them, they'll leave. They'll leave. They're afraid of getting caught. So by doing this new release and new investigation, quote unquote, supposedly, they suck the air out of WikiLeaks. Everybody's waiting for this big bombshell to come from this new investigation.
Wow.
It's coming, boy. It's coming. Then it's also everybody's talking about it, and they're not talking about voter fraud. Not at the intensity they were. Now, fortunately, Limbaugh, several people. I've been out everywhere I can telling people this is a trap. And Trump's done a reasonably good job of getting away from it. Just leave it alone. Because their plan is come tomorrow, tomorrow's Friday, right?
Yeah.
Their plan was for tomorrow to dump this file from the FBI. And you know what? When the FBI dumps it, you know what they were planning? There's going to be nothing there. And Hillary's going to be able to claim, oh, see. You see, it was a mean, old, dirty Republican trick. I told you there was nothing to any of this.
Wow.
All this WikiLeaks and everything is just a mean, old, dirty, despicable Republican trick. It's going to be interesting now to see whether she can still do that. Because people have backed off, thank God. Amen. They have backed off.
Larry, we got about 5 minutes left here. Is there a shadow government, Larry? I mean, we hear about that and people make fun of it and say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. You got a tinfoil hat, all that kind of stuff. Are there men behind the curtains that are really pulling all the strings, Larry?
No. Not with the Clintons. No. No. Now, there are men behind the curtains that are financing the Clintons. But no, not since the Stevenses. Since the Stevens brothers died, no one has ever been in control of Bill and Hillary because Hillary will not allow it. She has too much power herself. Now, they will use, you know, the Ayatollah of Iran. They'll use Putin. They'll use people. But there is no group of men behind the curtain. You can put your tinfoil line ball cap back in the closet because it ain't there. But, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying, however, organized crime, Chicago mob. Remember, who was Hillary's father? Hugh Rodham. Mm-hmm. Who was Hugh Rodham? When Al Capone was put in prison, two men took over the Chicago mob. One was Dan Rostenkowski, head of the powerful House Ways and Means Committee in Washington, in Congress, for years, and his partner, Hugh Rodham. So they know all about organized crime. Hillary does. And you're looking at an organized crime family. Now, they can call us a conspiracy nuts if you want to, but you better open your eyes and see it. You don't need me to tell it anymore. You don't have to call me crazy or you crazy. Look for yourself. Who are you going to call?
You know, Larry, the scriptures say that Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. I believe there's a strong spiritual component to what's going on. Hillary Clinton, you said she was a witch. You said she would go to coven meetings. She's not a Christian woman. And I tell folks that we are looking at, Larry, the destruction of Western civilization. If Hillary Clinton gets in, she will destroy Western civilization, all things Christian, and we won't even recognize this nation in 4 years or 8 years.
Coach, I wish you would.
Am I over the top on that, Larry?
No, I wish you would have me back on tomorrow and give me 1 hour to tell you America 2017 under Hillary. I assure you, it will scare you to your knees, number one. Number two, it will be my opinion that I will substantiate it and support it with evidence and facts to prove that it's not just wild thinking. But you need to think about, your audience needs to really think long and hard about what America's going to become in the next 3 years. Now, how do I know about it? Because I designed the 1986 plan.
You know how it works.
I know. By the way, Coach, before we go, I wish you, if it would be okay for me to ask people if they want to help me.
Folks, Larry told me this.
Don't do it if it's going to make people not believe what
they
I
go
say.
To LarryNichols.info. LarryNichols.info. Is that where they go, Larry?
Well, they can go there if they want to use a credit card, but if they want to help with PayPal, please just go to Nichols Live at AOL.com.
LickNicholsLive@AOL.com.
That's on PayPal. And then if they want to go, I'd like for them to go to the site, LarryNichols.info. And there's a button if they want to use a credit card to help, they can do it there.
Larry, you told me before we went on the air that you cannot afford the recommended treatment that you're supposed to be going. You're taking Percocets, you're taking pain pills, and you just try to sleep it away. And the services that you need cost a lot of money, and you don't have a pension. You just don't have it. You just don't have it. And so you don't have anything. And so you're not trying to do this as a money grab. Folks, if you feel led to help Larry Nichols get his basic treatment, so much for good old Obamacare, huh, Larry?
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you this. That's another thing I wanted to describe in this picture of America, 2017, Obamacare. Obamacare is the great population control system, the greatest that anybody could have invented. I'll explain it. Not death panels. I'm just saying people like me, you just can't live. But anyway, if anything, if asking any of you to help in any way makes you not want to believe what I say because you think I'm doing it for money, then whatever you do, do not send me one thin red dime. Please don't. But you haven't come here for money.
Yeah, man, you got a need right now, Larry. You told me that before we went on the air. Okay, so as the big weeks say, Larry, my people will talk to your people, and we'll get this thing done again. And we would love to hear you spell out exactly what's going to be looking like in a Hillary America, Hillary's America. I know that's what Dinesh D'Souza did that movie, but you tell us the real condition and what's really going to happen.
And the reason I'd like your people to get with my people quick is because this is something I would like for your audience to put out there so that people all over can hear it. I want people to sit down in a chair and watch your program and listen. And then you decide what you're going to do on Tuesday. And then when it sounds like a lot of trouble, Coach, for somebody to go up with an electronic machine and they won't verify how your vote's logged and you got to ask them for a paper ballot and they're going to kind of be irritated that you asked for a paper ballot and you may have to go someplace else to get it before you can cast your vote. When you hear Hillary's 2017, it might just make going that extra mile to protect your vote worth it. I mean,
okay. Okay, folks, you heard that. My people are going to get with Larry's people, and we're going to get a Hillary 2017 view of the world that Larry's going to give us. So we'll work out that schedule. We'll let all of you know. Larry, God bless you, man. Folks, help Larry out if you can. Give us that website again, Larry, where they would go.
The website is LarryNichols.info, and that's where you go to look up all the stuff for voter fraud, what to do legally so it can be used in a court of law. That's where you can go if you want to help me with the credit card. There's a button for credit card. If you want to help me right now, which is needed, you go to PayPal if you have a PayPal account, and that is NicholsLive@AOL.com.
Nichols Live. Nichols, and he's alive. NicholsLive@AOL.com.
Yes, sir.
God bless you, Larry. Thanks for this hour, and we're going to do it again. We're going to do it here real soon, and we'll be in contact and give you a chance to paint a picture that is not going to be a pretty picture for America. God bless you, Larry. Thanks, man.
You too, Coach.
All right, brother. God bless you, folks. Don't forget, tomorrow morning we have our hangout, 7 a.m., 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Time. Catch it on our website, CoachDaveLive.com. Doing a lot of good stuff. Thanks for joining us here.